It is with great pleasure that I welcome to the studio an old friend. And Scott Jacobs, I've written about you so often, I don't even remember writing about you so much. You're all your Stump Conley things. Now, well, I can't write about this, but you're on the air. It's famous ski hills in Wisconsin and other delusions of grandeur. One of the most amusing, incisive, enjoyable books I have read in some time. I have always been an admirer of your writing, but this tops the cake. I mean, I like writing. I like reading about politics and presidential elections, but nothing quite beats reading about the Wisconsin Dells. You arrived there. Scott writes, the last time I visited the Wisconsin Dells, and he's a Wisconsin boy, Wisconsin born bred, was in 1958, and I was 8 years old. You visited the wilderness territory with your young son.
I went up to, 2 years ago.
Yeah, and you find it vastly different, but nevertheless enjoyable.
Well, it's 280,000 gallons of water.
Who couldn't
enjoy
that?
Four water parks. They've got a, you know, laser tag range, miniature golf games. My six-year-old went nuts.
Well, the great thing is you say near the end of it, and I guess that's what we all want for our children, to give them a chance to live out their dreams. What impressed me about this book is your son also allows you to revisit your past. It's a huge part of this book.
Yes, this is somewhat of a memoir. It's a lot of different stories.
Yeah, it is a lot of different stories. How did the book come together? A lot of these things were written for The Week Behind, your famous, legendary website, blog, whatever it was called. You know,
well, we call it an online magazine because we've been doing it for 20 years, and there were no blogs when we started.
Right, you can call it a blog.
No.
Yeah. The idea to put it together in book form was?
Well, I'd written, you know, a lot of politics on The Week Behind. I did a book a couple years ago about Bucktown and neighborhood stories.
Mm-hmm.
These were all those stories in between when, you know, you're hunting for something to write about. So they're little bits of, they're flights of fancy, I call them. You know, I'd get this train of thought going, and I'd just sort of pursue it and see where it went. So one of them, the title piece, is about learning to ski on a 200-foot high ski hill in Wisconsin.
The legendary Wisconsin ski hills. Scott was and began his career as a journalist after growing up around Milwaukee, going to Harvard, coming back and working for the Sentinel first, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then came to the Sun-Times, and what I considered a little before my time were really the glory years of the Sun-Times, because of you, Roger Simon, Paul Galloway, Bob Green. What was it that took you away from journalism? I'm sure we've talked about it before, but I don't remember because we were probably having drinks.
I found a video camera with Tom Weinberg.
Yeah.
You know, a little black and white Portapak. It recorded half inch on woolen sack.
But by saying little, you have a little camera in here, and that is the definition of little. These were bulky instruments, were they not?
This one wasn't.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of changed things. I started doing some things, just shooting and making little video stories, and it took me into video. I produced video for 20 years. And then kind of came back to writing after I closed my post-production.
What was it? I mean, was it the excitement, and was it a new for you, and it was for everybody who picked one up, a new form of storytelling that appealed to you, that attracted you?
Yes, it was I think you know, we're all storytellers. Everybody's a storyteller. Poets are storytellers, novelists, TV producers. You know, when you're writing, you're describing things. I think when you're doing video, you're capturing people. And that was different for me. I just put myself in the situation where I'd kind of watch people do things. My first video I did was to go down to the State Street Santa Claus and spend a day with the Macy's Santa Claus. And the next day I walked into the Jim Hogue's office and said, I want to take a leave of absence to do video journalism.
What did Jim? Jim was the legendary Robert Redford lookalike editor of the Chicago Sun-Times. What did Jim say?
What's video journalism?
Did he really? Did he really? Boy, if he'd only been smarter, we'd all be working at the New York
Times.
And
we spent 20 years trying to define what it was.
Yeah.
People are still trying to define what it is.
You did, talking about great storytellers, you captured one of Chicago's greatest storytellers to my mind, his best, sitting in the Billy Goat Tavern.
Mike Reichel.
Telling what it meant for him to be a softball player. It is only about, remind me, 12 minutes long, 15 minutes long?
It's about 10, yeah. It's about 12 minutes long.
As you were getting, and people can buy this. I mean, you can just Google Scott Jacobs and go from there. It's called Royko at the Goat. When you were filming that, did you get a sense that Mike was totally on? Because you could not script a story better.
He was on. It was almost an accident.
Yeah,
he played baseball across the street in the park across the street from where I worked. One of the people who worked with me said, I want to do a 16-inch softball tape. And I said, well, get a camera. Let's go. We shot the team, and then the team went down to Billy Goat's, and I sat there and watched the team at the table, and Royko started talking to the girl.
Yes.
And that's what kind of got him going.
Yes, as it often did.
And he was telling one story after another. We never finished the documentary. I carried the tapes around for years, and there was just this one 20-minute piece that I couldn't throw away.
Good for you.
And so probably 10 years later, maybe 15 years later, I pulled it out and did a little bit of an edit, and that's Royko at the Goat. And it truly is. It is fun and funny. It's the best Royko.
Well, Mike and I are pretty good friends. Whenever I miss Mike, I call it up because I bought it or have it or gave it to me or something, and just I watch it, and it makes me feel great. That laugh at the end of it. We're talking to Scott Jacobs, the author most recently of Famous Ski Hills in Wisconsin and Other Delusions of Grandeur. These are written over the years. Some as early as, I think, 1997. Did you revise and rejigger any of them before putting them in this book?
I edited a little bit, but I didn't really add anything. I took out all the misspellings.
One of the most interesting and, I think, terribly heartfelt sections, and they're all relatively short, maybe not even a couple thousand words, is the Somewhere Over the Rainbow chapter. That took me totally by surprise. It's a story of Yip Harburg. How did that come to be? How did that get in this book? How did that get in your mind?
A friend of mine was having a bad week, and I found myself actually singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow to her, and then obviously said to myself, well, I wonder where that comes from. So I start looking into it, and there's Harold Arlen, everybody knows.
Sure.
Yip Harburg is himself fascinating. He grew up on the Lower East Side of New York. He got sent to this progressive reform school where they sat everybody alphabetically. And so because he was an H, he sat next to George and Ira Gershwin. And they'd go home after school and listen to the Victrola, the same way my kid comes home and plays on the iPad now. They would listen to the Victrola and make up songs. He went into the electrical business.
He got rich, and then he went broke. Yeah,
and he wrote a song. The first successful song he wrote became "Brother, Can You Spare a Dime," which was Franklin Delano Roosevelt's theme song in 1932.
And you cite some of the lyrics from it. It's just a remarkable
song.
And
then he does, he does "Somewhere Over the Rainbow." He and Harold Arlen, the film had four different directors, so they really shaped it and kept their songs in. He had to fight to keep Somewhere Over the Rainbow in.
Louis B. Mayer was like, I don't want that song, right?
No, he thought his star sang it in a barn.
That is among the revelations and the fun times you will have in Famous Ski Hills in Wisconsin, Other Delusions of Grandeur by Scott Jacobs. This is your bet. I've liked and lauded your previous works, but I think here you hit on something. I don't know if you even remember telling me this. You told me this a long time ago in writing one of your books. You said, I've always thought of myself as a storyteller in the Mark Twain tradition. Like Twain said, quote, get your facts first, then you can distort them all you want. If that's what you're doing here, you're distorting in the most artful way. We'll take a little break and come back and continue on with Scott Jacobs. He's filming this as we speak now. This will not rise to the level of the Royko video. But
no, I think we just want to see whether it stays in focus.
That's all we want. The camera is unbelievably small. I want to talk a little about what you're doing video-wise, too. And if you ever regret think about this. Do you ever regret leaving the newspaper business? And I say this given what chaos the newspaper business is in.
I miss the people.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about our mutual friend, Roger Simon. We'll talk more about him and more about Scott's book after this. Welcome back to After Hours. You will also find in Famous Ski Hills in Wisconsin and Other Delusions of Grandeur by Scott Jacobs. I already told you you'll find stuff about the Dells and Yip Harburg, and I can't even imagine another book containing both of those subjects. You also find out about golf. And Scott writes here, just I'll read a couple sentences. On the golf course, you are only you. Truer words, to my mind, have never been written. And golf is a game that teaches you a lot about accepting life as it comes. Golf's been a part of your life, and it's a part of your life with your dad, too. Is your son in first grade, is he playing? Are you going to...
He's not into golf yet.
Are you ready to torment him with this?
I enjoyed it. I had a dad who golfed. Yeah. You know, he started me at age 5, 6. He took me to all the right, you know, the guys who could teach golf, Blackie Nelthorpe. And I just wrote a piece for the University of Wisconsin Athletic Department magazine. My dad is now 94.
Wow, good for
and
you.
And we played father-son tournaments up until this year.
Wow.
And he still beat me. He was good.
Well, another fascinating topic in here, and it doesn't, you know, Wisconsin, they don't play there, but they have a lot of fans there, is chapter headline, Dubious Achievements, Cubs Go 0-12. That was written in April 1997 on Scott's...
That was a story that wrote itself.
Yeah, no kidding. I just want to read, if I can, the end of this. The Cubs have tradition on their side. It's a losing tradition, a tradition of dumb trades, dumber management decisions, errant base running, ignominious hitting, and pitchers who go from the bullpen to the showers with barely a stop at the mound to rub dirt on their hands. But it's the kind of tradition that fortifies the soul and makes you believe if we can sustain this momentum, next year the cellar is ours. That's perfectly put.
Well, it was a terrible start to the season. It was the worst start in the history of baseball. 125 years. Nobody had gone 0-12.
How soon we forget it. They are no better. They are no better now. Scott, we talked for a second about thinking about leaving the paper when you did, enamored of video. Wouldn't it have been interesting if Jim Hogue or newspapers at the time had been a little freer thinking and sort of embraced you and Tom Weinberg and what you were doing?
I think newspapers are coming around to do video.
And yeah, they're 30 years later.
But they're going to do it better than some of the TV stations are. They've got the right format. New York Times videos these days are terrific. The Tribune video is occasionally very, very good. There's a format. There's a three to four minute kind of video story that can be told. Newspapers should be telling it. People should be making those kinds of videos.
How should they be making them? It's not just two people sitting around talking. That's
No, you have to go out and do what you do as a reporter. Find a story.
Yeah.
Have an angle on it. Kind of know where you're going with it. But, you know, with these little cameras that are out there now, it can be done. You don't have to carry, you know, you don't need a minivan and you don't need a big shoulder camera. It is very helpful to have a good cameraman and very helpful to have, it's great to have a good editor.
Yeah, you need the whole.
You need the package.
Yeah.
And you have to put some resources to it.
What kind of work are you doing video-wise these days?
I've been doing a lot of short videos for non-for-profit organizations.
Yeah.
You know, we did the library thing last fall.
Sure, sure.
And I'm kind of playing around with this camera, wondering whether I can do a campaign trail.
It is, ladies and gentlemen, it's about as big as a phone. In some part of the screen is smaller than a phone, and we'll see what.
And cheaper than an iPhone.
Like, how much does that camera cost?
It's about $400.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
And you can make real good movies with that. I want to get back to the book before I let you go. Famous Ski Hills in Wisconsin. People can get this, just go online. And
I've had very good luck having it in bookstores.
Oh, Barnes fantastic.
And Noble has got it all over Wisconsin. Barnes & Noble on Webster Place. Barnes & Noble in Chicago. In Chicago, City Lit's been very helpful in Rogers, in Logan Square.
Yeah.
The bookseller.
Bookseller on Lincoln Avenue and Lincoln Square.
It's obviously in Amazon. The interesting thing is there is a story in here about home movies where in the electronic ebook version, the Kindle and iBook, I have those movies.
I know.
And they play.
Well, that's what, I was looking in the book and he goes, yeah, so if you want to see this, and I'm going, God, I mean.
Well, in a book you can't. Push the page.
Well, you know how idiotic I am. I'm saying, yes, and this is the same home movie recorded 50 years ago by my father. And I'm going, okay, that looks like a little Scott Jacobs. And I literally touched it. It was going to work. That is part of the future. That is the sort of interactivity.
In the story. Videos should, should be part of your story.
July 4th, we took my son to Winnebago, Illinois, and I made a video of my son watching their 4th of July parade with his cousins. You also, Scott, I'm going to end this, and thanks for coming in, and best of the family.
Thanks for having me.
Another one of the fascinating. You already heard about the Dells, the Cubs. There's stuff about beer in here. There's stuff about Yip Harburg in here. My rocks. Scott writes, I have in my possession, as I suspect you do, a collection of rocks I've acquired in my travels around the world. I have iron ore from Iron Mountain, sand from Saudi Arabia, lava from Hawaii, and a piece of smooth agate I found on a wall in the park next door. What possesses us to collect rocks? How do we select them? Then you talk about your wife going on vacation. She does not collect rocks. You've hit on something here.
I think boys collect rocks.
I think you were so right.
And mothers throw them out when the pants get to the
laundry.
Well,
you're lucky to have kept yours for so long. You're going to let your son. You're going to let your son do whatever he wants to do, I imagine.
I have a feeling he'll do what he wants to do, yeah. Whether I let him or not.
But I mean, that generation. Fiona is 4 years. My daughter Fiona is 4 years older. I think that generation is going to do remarkable things because they're much more adept at things that you and I, it took me forever to learn to type on a computer, for goodness sake. So I'm really hopeful that our kids will be able to support us one day.
Well, that's good. He's in the first grade and he's taking computer classes. He's like, Dad, can you load up PowerPoint for me?
Scott Jacobs, you've had a remarkable career and it's an ongoing pleasure to continue to watch it. And this book is charming as hell, as they say. That'll be on the next jacket.